the Public News Service Thursday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Alabama, where a local woman there is on a mission to help people who've been incarcerated for decades successfully transition back into society.
The mission to support returning citizens started with Kelly Lang's own fight for justice. Her loved one was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole at age 15 in 1994. And after years of advocacy, Lang came face to face with the gaps in Alabama's criminal justice system. Determined to make a difference, she co-founded On the Way Home, a nonprofit dedicated to helping people rebuild their lives.
My loved one's juvenile sentence, so he has no family. He has no one. I have another couple guys that I know that are incarcerated that have no one. They have no family. They have no one to go home to. They have no one to help them. They have nothing, but they've been in for a long time.
Lang says her journey to reduce her loved one's sentence has been fraught with challenges, largely due to Alabama's rigid parole system. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Next from the Hill, Vice President Harris is leading former President Trump by 5 points among likely voters in Michigan and is leading slightly in Wisconsin, while the two candidates are tied in Pennsylvania, according to new Marist Battleground State polls. 52% of likely voters polled in Michigan supported Harris, 47% Trump. In Wisconsin, 50% of likely voters polled supported Harris, compared to 49% who said they supported Trump. And Harris and Trump each received 49% of support among likely voters in Pennsylvania, the survey of the battleground state found. Prior to the debate, Trump had a nearly 5-point lead in that state. Next from our Danielle Smith, the United Auto Workers contract negotiations kick off today with Volkswagen at its Chattanooga plant covering over 4,000 UAW members.
The union says its goal is to achieve an initial agreement that raises standards in wages, benefits, and protections to align with those in other unionized plants. UAW member Yolanda Peoples is on the bargaining team. She says they conducted a survey to prioritize the most pressing issues for changes or improvement.
The highest concerns were the health and safety. A lot of the employees were concerned about the high rate of injuries that we have.
And in North Carolina, the gap between Medicaid reimbursement rates and the actual cost of dental care has reached a crisis point, impacting both patients and providers. Dr. Rafael Rivera is a member dentist with the North Carolina Dental Society and the owner of Smile Starters. He says it's a gap that's impacting quality dental care around the state.
It's about 30 cents on the dollar. It's about 30% of what we should be getting paid for the procedures. And that's not exact, but 30 to 35% somewhere in that range. It's actually a lot worse if you are an oral surgeon in the state treating this patient population.
Those reimbursement rates haven't been updated since 2008. This is Public News Service. September is Health Literacy Month, and a Denver-based group is working to help health professionals break a persistent pattern of discrimination linked to high disparities in maternal death rates.
Danielle Gilbert with the Colorado Council of Black Nurses points to research showing that between 2016 and 2020, nearly all pregnancy-related deaths of black women could have been prevented through timely interventions at the patient, provider, or system level.
That report specifically found that discrimination played a role in over half of pregnancy-associated deaths. And approximately 90% of those pregnancy-related deaths were identified as preventable.
Black women in Colorado are twice as likely to die during their pregnancy or within 1 year of giving birth than the state's overall pregnant population. The leading cause of maternal death overall is self-harm and unintentional overdose, but for black women, the number one cause of death is heart failure. I'm Eric Galatas.
Next from Eric Tegadoff, Washington's clean energy law could bring thousands of jobs and billions of dollars to the state. That's according to a new report.
Green Line Insights analysis of the Climate Commitment Act, the state's cap and invest law passed in 2021, finds it will create 45,000 jobs and generate more than $9 billion in economic output over the next 5 years. Lead author Jonah Kerman-Faber says the law has outsized returns for local economies and gains for the state as well.
These investments from the Climate Commitment Act support labor-intensive local industries. We're thinking things like construction, manufacturing, business operations, transportation.
The law could be repealed if Initiative 2117 on the November ballot is approved. Opponents of the Climate Commitment Act call it a sneaky tax on consumers.
Finally, our Alex Gonzalez invites us to the Pines Inn and Suites in Cottonwood, Arizona. They had long dreamed of transitioning to solar energy, and thanks to federal grants and tax credits, it finally became a reality.
Owner and president Anime Corey bought the property in 2001 and has been working since to make it greener. For many years, Corey says she wanted to go solar, but was worried the expense of installing the panels would outweigh the potential savings. She says that all changed when she learned about federal dollars through the nonprofit Local First Arizona.
Even though I was already doing a lot of things, they currently support the solar business in that the government has a REAP grant where they will give you back 50% of your investment.
Corey says she was able to cover 70% of her business's solar installation cost with a $32,000 reimbursement from the Rural Energy for American Program, or REAP, and $23,000 from the Renewable Energy Investment Tax Credit.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators and content at publicnewsservice.org.